Here's a thought I'll title, Where Depth of Field Fails. A while back, I decided to do a simple research project. I wanted to find out where my images were failing when they failed technologically. I'm not talking about composition and aesthetics and content, but just the mechanics of photography. The thought being that if I could eliminate the causes of such technological failures, that would cease to be a problem, or at least I could reduce it significantly. Because there are times when the technology fails me. Well, or maybe I fail to use the technology correctly. So I did this giant survey. I looked at 10,000 images. If they were technologically what I had hoped for and expected, that was considered a success, like I say, regardless of the aesthetics. What I was looking for were the technical failures that I could correct. And there were two that just dominated all others. And that was out-of-focus images due to camera movement, which was easily enough resolved with faster shutter speeds, higher ISOs, using noise reduction to eliminate whatever the high ISO caused, and, of course, a tripod, which isn't always practical, but it does solve the problem of camera movement entirely. So I felt I had a pretty good handle on that. But the second most common technological failure was depth of field, and that one surprised me quite a bit, actually, because my images that failed due to depth of field failed in an unexpected way. If I had tremendous depth of field where everything was sharp and in focus, that was considered a success. And if I had a nice, soft bokeh that enhanced the image through shallow depth of field, I considered those a technological success. Where the problem exists was always in the middle. When I didn't have enough depth of field to make everything sharp, nor did I have a shallow enough depth of field to create that creamy bokeh that we all want so much, for example, in our portraits. So I got to looking at the causes, and what I determined was it was the depth of fields that were in the middle that were the problem. When they were reasonably sharp, but the edges, the foreground and the background, were just a little out of focus due to a too shallow depth of field. The answer to that, of course, is to simply stop down a little bit. And in thinking about this, I realized that the reason I don't stop down more in order to get the... is because I've kind of been trained that F4, F5, 6, F8, those are the sweet spots in terms of overall sharpness and eliminating things like coma or corner sharpness or chromatic aberration. So I have my cameras all set to default to the lens wide open. But in my case, wide open is often 2.8, 3.5, something like that. And what I need to do is stop down. But I'm sometimes resistant to stopping down in order to increase the depth of field because of the problems of diffraction, which is that characteristic that makes the overall image a little soft because of the strange optical problem that crops up with tiny, tiny apertures. But then, thanks to metadata, I did a little further analysis by looking at all the images that I shot at very small apertures, F14, F16, F22. Keep in mind, I'm shooting micro four thirds, so you have to double all those numbers for effective full frame apertures. When I shoot at F14, that's full frame equivalent of F28. When I shoot at F16, that's 32. When I shoot at F22, that means I'm actually shooting at F44 in a full-frame equipment. Those are tiny, tiny apertures, and they do cause diffraction. But when I looked at those images, I realized they were all perfectly usable. And even though they did exhibit diffraction, there's no question I could see it, the loss of sharpness due to diffraction was far less problematic than the loss of the entire image because of insufficient depth of field. So I just stopped worrying about diffraction. It's never going to get in the way of making the kind of image that I want to make. So stopping down was an easy solution when the foreground and the background were slightly out of focus compared to the center of the image, which was resolved by simply stopping down. The bigger problem is at the other end of the spectrum. Because my lenses don't go to f.8 or f1.2 or even f1.4, getting extremely shallow depth of field is much more problematic. It would require purchasing some new lens or playing around a little more aggressively with lens blur, a new feature in Lightroom, which can be effective on occasion. Sometimes I think it looks a little phony, and I haven't found it to be a universal solution. But the vast majority of my images, I want a great depth of field rather than a shallow depth of field. So at least by reconsidering the effect of diffraction and deciding it wasn't a reason not to use those small apertures, I was able to overcome a huge portion of the technological failures. And now that I'm more confident shooting at f16 or f22, I just no longer have that problem where images are a technological failure because they don't have a great enough depth of field. So shutter speed and depth of field are resolvable with the right kind of strategy that really measures the effect in practical results instead of theoretical failures.
Copyright 2026, Lenswork Publishing.